for Berkeley Electric Cooperative Power Talk, a weekly program to educate and inform the member owners about the co-op. You'll hear tips on saving energy and what Berkeley Electric Co-op means to you. Now let's join our host, Terry Bass, for this week's program.
And good Saturday morning. It's time for another edition of BEC Power Talk. I am Terry Bass, glad to be with you, and so glad one of my favorite ladies in the Lowcountry is with us again. Libby Rohrig is here. Good morning, Libby.
Hey, Terry. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
And I made your name sound really strong just then.
You did. You did an excellent job.
All right. That's the best one ever. I focused. I'm telling you, I concentrated.
You've been practicing.
I have. I don't want to see that look you give me when I don't, you know, I fall short, you know.
But
that was a good one there. So I won't say it anymore. I'll just say Libby, Miss Libby, the rest of the show. But we're here having another great discussion, and we have another great special guest, Libby. I mean, there's so many special guests that you bring to the show.
Yeah, we have so many knowledgeable, talented people, and I'm so thrilled to have
a plethora, plethora.
Yeah,
I don't use that word often.
Yeah,
but great coworkers, all different facets of what goes on at BEC, and today we're going to talk with, let's go ahead and say hello to Tommy Harvey, manager of distribution operations. That's a big sounding job, sir.
It sounds a whole lot bigger than it is, honestly.
Well, it makes you sound really, really important. I think you are.
I understand.
All right. Get close to that mic. Right. Libby will get you. Yeah, you can pull it up and get real close. There it is. So Tommy Harvey is with us, and Libby, Miss Libby, like I said. And we want to talk about a lot of things that surround this time of year, because storms and more storms.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. What a tough one that hit our friends down in the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
Louisiana, Texas. And, you know, we could just at any moment be just a few days away from something similar.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we got to talk about it. But before we get into that, Tommy, tell us about your experiences over the years. I'm assuming you're a long timer, maybe at Berkeley Electric, been there a while.
You know, just when you think you're one of the senior guys, you got, like, my boss is, you know, he's one of the tenured 35 plus years. So,
okay.
I've been there just over 20 years.
Okay.
I came in.
He's a baby.
That's right.
Baby.
I came in in the late 90s on the line crew as a what we call a grunt.
Okay, a grunt.
Affectionately, we call him grunt.
Okay.
I came in affectionately, for sure. But, I came in as a helper, what we call a lineman helper at the time, and worked on the line crew my first 18 or 19 years up to a foreman, and we did a lot of maintenance and construction and all kind of different, you know, tasks like that on the line.
Okay.
Worked a lot of different storms, Terry.
Wow. And
from ice storms to, you know, what we're seeing now to hurricanes.
So you've seen it all.
Seen a lot of it, for sure.
And I'm sure, you know, people don't think about the different factors when weather plays a role, and weather plays a role every day.
That's right.
Even when it's a heat wave and there's not a cloud in the sky, that's a stress to the electric grid, if you will. So it's still a weather-related, thought-provoking scenario for you guys.
Well, and living in the Lowcountry, we have pop-up thunderstorms every afternoon, it seems like.
That's right.
So that also is,
you know what they say about the Lowcountry, you can get, I think, all four seasons in 1 week. You know, you almost really can. But, you know, people tend to not think about what you guys think about until there's no power. Mm-hmm. Then, hey, you know, it becomes the worst problem at that point. But, Tommy, there's a lot that goes into play to try to prevent those things. But, you know, obviously sometimes it's just inevitable. It will happen at some point in time, power outages and things like that. So we'll talk about a little bit of that or a lot. But before a storm comes, what do you guys do, Mr. Harvey, to prepare before the storm?
Terry, our preparations start every spring. We, you know, obviously hurricane season peaks in late fall, but we start our major storm plan review every spring, early spring every year.
Okay.
And that's company-wide. That's from our folks in marketing right down to, the guys who oversee the line crews. We review that plan every year. We look back at our notes and, the information we have from previous storms. It could be the year before that we dealt with, or it could be, something historical that we learned from. Every storm is different. Mm-hmm. So we try to document them as we face them and deal with them, recover from them, and then we use those documents and that documentation to build our storm plan every year. And just this past spring, during the onset of the coronavirus, we did the very same thing. We went back again and updated our major storm plan, and we'll do it again next year. We think we're ready for this year. But like I said, every storm is so different.
Now, you mentioned coronavirus. How has COVID-19 maybe complicated the process or added to it? How's that worked out?
That's a great question. We met multiple times, the management team did, to talk about how we can navigate a large restoration event if we had to deal with something like that during the pandemic. So a few of the things we would do differently, to be specific, we have mutual aid agreements with utilities, other cooperatives throughout the state, but also mm-hmm. throughout the region. We've gotten help from folks in Arkansas and Kentucky multiple times, from Mississippi, Alabama. So everything east of the Mississippi and a little beyond, we have agreements with folks that'll come in on short notice and help us restore. So when you bring that many folks in, you have to be able to accommodate them and take precautions regarding the pandemic. One of the things we would do specifically in that regard is we won't bring them to our office. We normally bring them straight in to the office, check them in. There's a safety protocol that with information sharing we're required to do.
Mm-hmm.
We've made plans to do that remotely now. We can bring in, if you bring in 200, 300 personnel, you got to figure out how to accommodate social distancing and still That's convey true. The information you have to. So things like that.
Right. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking this Saturday morning with Tommy Harvey, manager of distribution operations. And, of course, my partner in crime, Libby is here, who always does a great job coordinating all of this talent that works at Berkeley Electric Cooperative. So we're talking about the process preparing before a storm. And I guess what happens, and I know this may not be on my wonderful notes, but during a storm, is there anything that the cooperative would do during the storm? Is it you stay safe and then come out after the storm? How does that work exactly?
Again, every storm is different, but traditionally, what we've learned that we can do is we have facilities that we can safely keep our employees at.
Okay.
We don't accommodate family. We don't bring their family in, so certainly our employees make accommodations for their family
mm-hmm.
Outside of being at work. But immediately at the time of a storm, we normally hunker down in our facilities.
Okay.
We just built a new facility on Johns Island
that beautiful.
Is fortified, and this thing is supposed to be storm ready, so we can close it in. It's got the protection that comes down over the windows.
Okay.
We can close it in and should be fairly confident that our employees are there safe.
Okay, so everyone, let's say the team, the crisis team, or the teams that will deal after they get together, let's
right.
say the famous word hunker down.
That's right.
Still trying to find that in the dictionary.
It's probably not there.
Hunker down, but we do it. And then after the storm.
Yep.
Let's talk about after the
yeah,
storm.
Yeah, absolutely. We it's actually good timing for this program, just because all this is, we just reviewed all this. So what we'll do, our protocol demands that once the wind, and we're speaking specifically about a tropical type of
event, a hurricane.
Mm-hmm. Right. Once the wind is determined to be at a safe level, and our safety department determines that.
Okay.
We'll send them out, and they'll spend a brief time doing assessments to kind of overlooking the main components of our system to make sure what we can actually utilize now.
Okay.
And obviously we'll restore what we can, the masses, as quick as we can, and then we fall back and start working the smaller stuff.
Okay, so.
So like an assessment early and then begin restoration.
Yeah, and then during, obviously, just kind of in preparation, ready to go as soon as possible.
Right.
Because, and that's almost you could think of in terms of that could potentially be a life saving decision, because the faster you're able to get out of it. But like you said, your assessment is first, we can't move until it's safe.
That's right.
As a company or cooperative to go out and then assist. But then, like you said, because you're ready probably as soon as you can be, that could be the difference between a life and a death.
Yeah.
It really could be. So this is important work that you guys do during a storm and obviously keeping safe. Now, restoring the power, because that's the one thing that everyone wants back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right now I was just seeing some information earlier where, you know, let's say in Louisiana where many thousands lost power, you know, the first question that they asked the governor, so how fast? Well, he doesn't work at the cooperative, but he's going to obviously have a line of communication to an electric cooperative in that area or what have you. But you work to restore power to most people first. Is that priority tree as it relates to power? How does that work? Or is it essential? Obviously, a hospital, I would assume, has as much redundancy backups. But could you explain that process?
Sure. We first of all, it's worth mentioning that we are a distribution cooperative, Terry, which means we don't operate transmission lines. The 100,000 plus volt transmission lines, we don't operate.
Okay.
So obviously we do operate the substations that those high voltage, really high voltage transmission voltage lines feed.
Okay.
We own the substations.
I got you.
So before we can send power to anybody, we got to have transmission power. Then once we get that, we fall back to that assessment. We'll rely on the assessment we made. We know that we're going to heat up our circuits, the main lines first, and that, generally speaking, picks up the masses of our members. We will break it down even further, your shelters in time of a hurricane. Shelters would be a priority. We'd put them back on if they were out as quick as we can. Any hospitals, medical facilities would also be a level one type priority.
Okay.
And then we branch out from that with the smaller taps and then service lines.
Okay, so emanating from a substation.
Yep.
And then obviously once it's checked off, then further down the line.
Yep. Okay. Absolutely.
So this happened in the life and times of Mr. Terry. This really happened, Libby. And Libby's like, man, he has some stories. These are true stories.
I love your stories,
okay,
Terry.
I was in my yard. This was within the last 3 years. I don't know which storm it was, but it was after a storm. And there was, I think power was out across the street from where I live. I think I had power, but we were getting leaves up. But the power company was there across the street. There were lines, overhead lines, on the neighboring tree line. But the guy was back there doing something, and I heard an explosion. Oof. I was like, oh, I said, oh, my God, something bad has happened. But he walked around, like, you know, whistling like nothing was wrong. I said, sir, what was that? And he kind of explained, but I didn't really know if I understood. But did he mess up? I guess is the question.
Chances like, are he did not.
Okay, so was he doing something to test to see if there was power, or I don't know, because it was literally I saw smoke
right
over the back of the house across the street, and I was like, I panicked for the guy, but he made it, but. That would be part of the testing process, maybe?
No, it's not an intentional test.
Oh,
but
he kind of messed up then.
No, not really. And I'll try to explain it to you without giving you too much jargon of,
okay,
you know, that's hard
you
to comprehend if
you
don't,
true
you're
story.
Not in the business. But if you hear an explosion like that, that's normally a fuse.
Okay.
There are fuses all over every electrical system. There are fuses. We get calls every day, and if I went to our system control right now, I would tell you they've already gotten them today.
Okay.
Where I heard my transformer blow.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Everybody's transformer blows. When it's not, if you hear a transformer, it's highly unusual.
Okay, so what we're hearing is the fuses.
It's a fuse, absolutely.
Okay.
It's made to blow. It's designed to be expendable. If we replace it, it's a quick, cheap replacement.
Okay.
And it's designed to sectionalize a line. That's all it is.
So it's actually a safety protocol.
Absolutely.
The system working like it should.
Look at there. See, Libby? It really happened. I heard it. The guy's alive, thankfully.
Yeah.
And we have our power, ultimately.
But I tell you what, these linemen, they have nerves of steel. Very little shakes them.
Nerves of steel, and they have the arms of steel, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I always think back of my buddy. What's his name?
Adam Bradshaw.
Adam, yes.
Yeah.
Paul Bunyan.
Oh, yeah, Adam's got him now.
Yes, indeed. I won't think it's a bromance or anything, you know. Don't take that back to him. But I always talk about his guns, you know.
Yeah, we'll have to get Adam
lineman.
Back
yes.
this fall and talk about right-of-way clearing. Because right-of-way clearing is very important to the reliability of our system. You know, we've got to keep the vegetation down and away from the lines. So that way, when a storm does hit, it helps keep things working like they should.
And it would lessen potential problems.
Yeah.
Okay, I got that. Yeah. Tommy Harvey is with us this morning, BEC Power Talk, and Miss Libby, as we're talking about the things that may happen during, before, and after a storm. And since we're talking about safety, let's dive into some of the safety. Before we go into safety, we sort of talked about this, but when your neighbor has power, but you don't, or you have power and your neighbor doesn't, how does that process probably get people mad at you?
Oh,
is that what happens?
That's a great source of issue.
Frustration.
When,
yeah.
Yeah, when you know, you get calls that I have no power, but my neighbors had power the whole time. They never
the whole time.
Absolutely. We and gosh, it happens every storm, Terry. And the reason for that is because often, especially in neighborhoods, and it can happen in a rural setting on different streets as well.
Okay.
But often in neighborhoods is where we get that complaint from. And the situation is this. We have multiple lines that feed down the same road.
Okay.
And the reason for that is we try to split what we call load up. It's amperage on our system.
I understand.
We try to split it up and keep it as even as we can because that lends to a dependable electric system. It becomes predictable. When a load is even, it's very predictable. So if we lose what we call a phase, there are three phases on everything we build.
Okay.
If we lose one phase, then that could affect half of a street or your neighbors on one side of a street.
I got
And it's always happened. They could take the whole street out, but somebody can see the street next behind them. And they're not happy when that happens, I promise.
It's amazing how good their eyes work when
absolutely.
That one light is on way down. Wait a minute. They got power. Yeah.
Our transformer blue is usually the problem.
I understand. But that makes sense. You have cleared that up for a lot of folks listening, I believe. I hope. Anyway. But, you know, now I know why there's so much calm at Berkeley Electric, because you have to deal with the personal storms. I don't have power.
Well, and Terry, when
you're on it?
Yeah, when you're sitting at home, and if it's been an extended outage,
oh, man.
You know,
yeah.
After a hurricane or something, it's been days or even up to a week. We know how frustrating it is, and we know that all you can do is just sit there and think about how miserable you are because you can't do your normal routine. So we get it. I mean, we understand, and we're working as fast as we can around the clock, literally.
Good answer. See, she calmed us down, right? That's how it would work. So then she could call you.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to let somebody vent their frustrations.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. See, it takes a special person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Libby's special. Thank you for that. because you gotta stay calm. And that is definitely, even think about it, within a pandemic, we've had to experience that same feeling. But in a storm, it's magnified because you know, you just want a hot bath or shower sometimes.
Or cool air during the summertime.
Absolutely. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Now we were talking about, or about to talk about safety, and now let's talk about the safety for the actual employees.
Sure.
Your crew, you know, how can the citizens help you as you help them as far as safety?
Yeah, absolutely. There's several things that they can do that help us as far as safety goes, but also as far as efficiency goes. If you have a line down, we have multiple avenues to report that.
Okay.
We encourage you to have generators hooked up correctly. That that protects our linemen, frontline guys. That their safety depends on that. We have protocol, Terry, in place that protect our guys anyway from that situation.
Okay.
But what will happen then when they enact those protocols, if you hook your generator up incorrectly, chances are it's going to damage your generator because we're going to have the line grounded and it's protecting our guys. So you risk damaging your generator. So smart thing to do is hire, if you're going to plug a generator into your home, is to hire a licensed electrician and let them come in and do it with a transfer switch the way it's supposed to be done.
The right way.
Absolutely.
I understand that. And then what about giving the linemen the ample room and space they need to
absolutely
do their job?
Obviously, never go anywhere near a down line. We try to make sure that those lines are de-energized when they come down, but that does not always mean it's the case. When you see our guys working, not just in a pandemic, but when you see them out working, we try to set up and create ourselves a natural buffer from folks coming in contact with them and the equipment that we have set up.
Mm-hmm.
So give them plenty of clearance, you know, let's stay far enough back that you're not impeding what they're working on anyway.
That makes perfect sense. Libby, I have another story. This is a true story. You know, I don't think about these things until we're having these dialogues, but my father, after retirement, he was one of those people that, you know, he's still alive, thankfully, 85 years young, but he worked many, 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 many different jobs after his military. He worked for an electric company, and this is dovetailing to what we were just talking about. When they would have a storm, and you're going to see this on the highways, people headed to assist the folks in the different states that have been affected by the recent hurricane, he would go out as a security force.
Hmm.
So they would go out because, like you said, you're going into people's territory or land, or you don't know what you're going to encounter. And where he worked, they actually were gun-carrying law enforcement, if you will. But they would go out with the linemen in that particular company just to make sure, you know, there was no problems. Because I would suspect when you're going to fix a problem, sometimes you don't have necessary permission to be on land. And what do? You wait till you get in contact with somebody to restore the power, or do you just, you would move forward? And I guess I'm asking, is there a protocol on that?
What we try to do, especially day to day, is we notify landowners, property owners, before we go on their property. In a storm situation, Terry, you're exactly right. It's different. When we get there, we're going to work.
That's right.
Often, I'll tell you, back in 2005, when we worked Katrina, we had Berkeley Electric Cooperative sent, I don't remember how many crews.
All over.
Sent probably 20, 20, 25
okay
or so. And we were down there for a couple of weeks. And it got to, when folks have been out of power, 1, 2, 3 days is one thing. When you're talking about weeks a restoration, folks' nerves are worn thin. You know, they're a little bit edgy.
That's right.
They're doing without some things, Terry, that they're used to having. And it got to the point where when we left each morning, we departed the cooperative's office we were working at, they sent National Guard with us. So we had National Guard went to the area we were working, and they stayed
right
there throughout the day. But they were also in support of the folks we were helping, too.
Right.
They were
kind of a dual role. But same sort of thing, like my father had gone out with in those storm scenarios and at that point, you hope there's no trouble, obviously, and you would think that people are glad to see you, and I'm sure most of the times they are.
Absolutely.
But then, you still are encountering situations that you've never encountered, people you've never encountered, and it does call for some safety all around to help the situation on both sides, like you said.
Yeah.
Tommy, I want to ask you this. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes left before we wrap up today. Do you have any stories over the years of the different storms that have hit the Lowcountry, and you know, some of the, I guess we've dealt with every type of storm. Maybe you could go through some of your greatest hits, the greatest hits of storms in BEC history. Because 20 years, I'm sure you've seen a few things.
I was actually in high school when our service area suffered the wrath of Hurricane Hugo. So that was before my professional time anyway. Yes. At Berkeley Co-op. I actually lived on Berkeley system then. But most recently, probably as devastating as I've seen on our system was the ice storm, Winter Storm Pax in 2014, I think it was.
Yes.
Now they all run together, but I think it was 14.
I remember that one.
A week or two prior to Pax, we had another ice event that was more of a coastal, really strange, kind of affected our coastal service areas more so than our inland service areas. Not near as severe, though. Then Pax came in, and we had, I don't remember the exact number. It was over two-thirds of our membership was out at one point. So,
didn't we have more people out for Pax than we did at Hugo?
Yes, total number, just because our system has grown so much since 1989.
Right.
We had, our total number was larger for Pax, but the percentage was not what we lost at Pax. At Hugo.
People don't understand, man, that ice, just not much ice can do a whole lot of damage.
So we had, I believe it was a quarter of an inch, they determined.
Which,
we had a quarter of an inch
of
ice.
That's a lot of ice.
When you get a quarter of an inch of ice in the Lowcountry of South Carolina, it's all kinds of problems.
Yes, absolutely a problem. You've also dealt with tornadoes. Absolutely. And, the 500-year flood? Was it a 500 or 1,000?
I thought we had a couple thousand-year floods.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it was a couple thousand, not 2,000.
No, we had
two
once-in-a-thousand-year floods.
Yes. Right. How in 2 years, right?
Again, back to Dwayne Cartwright.
That's right. But
we like to blame him.
We've had significant events since he came to work for us back in 12, I think it was.
Yeah.
We've suffered the wrath.
So, in other words, Dwayne, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
We're looking forward to a new era with a new CEO.
But those are a lot of different storms. And then, as we close out, the pandemic storm. It's a storm in its own right. You know, and that's caused a lot of different protocols in your department as well, right?
Absolutely. We got to a point. We had one district that was affected really, really harshly as far as pandemic precautions. Luckily, we weren't confirmed with infections, but we had to take precautions, just not knowing until we got some test results back. We had 80% of our linemen that were sent home sequestered.
That possibly exposed.
Correct, just out of precaution. So, you know, we move resources around and satisfy the needs we have just by shifting resources. So, but we got them back. We're, knock on wood, super strong today. Yeah. And guys have been, you know, they're abiding by the protocol we ask them to, and have done a fantastic job, and we're as healthy as we've been. So
that's great.
Yeah, especially during hurricane season, we're glad to see it.
And now that we are in peak hurricane season, let's do this as you're riding around, and we know because of the recent storm, you may see trucks passing you on the highway. Just, you know, maybe give them a thumbs up
Or
you know, tip of the cap, because it's a very important job. It's a thankless job a lot of times. But, boy, I tell you, when things hit the fan, if you will, and you guys come out and do your job, you're the best thing ever. So I thank you for what you do in advance.
I appreciate that.
Because I don't want to lose power. So. Yeah. No, I sincerely
do. Terry doesn't live on our lines.
Not yet. I'm being recruited.
Yeah, yeah, I'm trying to get him to buy a house in Crowfield.
Right. Yeah, yeah. She's trying hard, you know. She's going to make that down payment. We're halfway there, see. But once again, this Saturday, we've shared more great information, and it's why Berkeley Electric Cooperative is the great organization that it is. Great for the members and the owners. And, you know, once again, be safe and careful out there during this storm season, because you just never know when Tommy and his crew may have to show up. So thank you for what you do. Thank you, Libby, as always.
Always a pleasure.
Yes, indeed. And this wraps up this Saturday show of Berkeley Electric Power Talk. Have a great day.